And today, we're going to be talking a lot about that. We're going to talk about time. And in Psalm 27, verse 1, we read, "Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth." And often, I think about my life, and I think about what I would do if I had it to live over again. There's a lot of things that I would do differently. But we don't have yesterday, do we? We don't have tomorrow either, do we? But great wisdom comes from knowing that we have a limited amount of time on this earth. Psalm 90, verse 12 tells us, "So teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom." And we get a great lesson in chapter 11 of Ecclesiastes. Here it speaks of the days of our youth and how life changes as we grow older. In Ecclesiastes 11, verses 9 and 10, the Bible says, "Rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and in the sight of your eyes, but know that for all these God will bring you into judgment. Therefore, remove sorrow from your heart and put away evil from your flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity." So here we learn that our youth should be enjoyed, but that we shouldn't count on our youth, that it is fading away. In addition, we should know that when we are young, after the age of accountability, maybe 12, maybe 14, we'll still be judged. After that, we're going to be judged for our actions. If we die or the judgment comes while we're in our youth, we want to make sure that we're using our lives for God's purpose, not for evil purposes. Not for our own purposes first, but first for God's purposes. In Ecclesiastes 12, verses 1 through 3, we're going to go through this and I'm going to talk a little bit through it. "Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days come, and the years draw near when you say, 'I have no pleasure in them.'" So there's going to come a time when the pleasure that you have in life is going to get less and less. But what if you have God first in your life? That doesn't have to grow less and less, does it? These things, these earthly things, they're vanity. If we put our hope in those, they're going to fade away and they're going to leave us. But if we put our hope in God first, things only get better as we end near the end. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 2 says, "While the sun and the light, the moon and the stars are not darkened, and the clouds do not return after the rain." What does that mean? This is actually a metaphor. And the moon and the stars not being darkened, this is speaking of your eyes, your sight. This is a metaphor for growing older. When you get older, your eyes grow dimmer. Mine, right now, they're not as good as they used to be. I can tell you that right now. And they're only going to grow dimmer, right? Now in Ecclesiastes 12, verse 3, we read, "In the day when the keepers of the house tremble, and the strong men bow down, when the grinders cease because they are few, and those that look through the windows grow dim." Now this speaks of your hands, your arms. They began to get weaker. They tremble. And the fact that even strong men eventually will bow down. They will do that. The grinders, those are your teeth. They're going to grow weaker. They're going to be fewer of them as you get older. This is a natural process. It's one that cannot be avoided, physically at least. And any sports fan knows that you can watch back the 80s and the 90s. You can watch videos of people who you once watched and admired. Athletes, they used to run, they used to jump, they used to explode at an elite level, and now they aren't even able to play an official game, let alone do well at it. It's just the way it is. Young people, older people, it doesn't matter. All should remember this and order their lives in a godly way. We are not promised tomorrow. The world is unstable. There are wars all around the world. We have the dangers of atomic bombs. We've had that for decades. We have dangers of bioweapons and all of these things. And that's a danger from man. But we also have the end of time ahead of us, the judgment. And when God is ready for the world to end, the world will end. So we should always be ready. Whether we're young, middle-aged, or older, we should always be ready to meet our God. Matthew 13, verse 32 says, speaking of the judgment, "But of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father." We do not know when the end is coming. As it says in Amos 4, we must prepare to meet our God. Technology, it's improved drastically since the times of the Old Testament. But I ask you, has morality improved? Man is still man. Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 17, verse 9, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" Humankind's heart, it turns to evil. And we have to battle that daily, don't we? We're all humans. We are all sinners. Our time on earth is brief. Our days are few. And one of my favorite sections of Scripture here, 1 Peter 1, verses 24 and 25. "Because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withers, and its flower falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever." Now I want you to think about the beautiful green leaves, the beautiful green grass that was all around Nashville about 6 or 7 weeks ago. Now I want you to imagine the smell of the grass that you mowed. I didn't mow any grass. I live in an apartment. But if you mowed grass, think about that smell. I know the smell of it. But that grass has withered. That grass will wither even more in the coming weeks. And its lifespan is complete. And our lifespan will soon be complete in the same way. The glory of the grass is gone, and our physical glory will pass away from this earth as well. And in the eyes of God, the length of time the grass lasts in a season is the length of your life. Very short. It goes very, very fast. It's so quick. 2 Peter 3, verse 8 says, "But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. But what endures forever? God's word endures forever. God is eternal. 1,000 years is as a day to Him. God has no beginning. God has no end. And we can't really wrap our minds around that. We've been talking about it a lot lately. Very hard to wrap our minds around that. But we know this. We have a beginning. We have an end. At least here on earth. Psalm 90, verse 10 says, "The days of our lives are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they are 80 years, yet their boast is only labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away." Now, God gives us some sort of average of 70 years of life. Some don't even get to that. Some do. And it comes quick. And I found some statistics. Look out, I'm going to get into numbers, so look out. Because I'm not the best statistician. So what we're going to do is we're going to look at, if you make it to 80 years old, you will have spent about 26 years sleeping. And listen to this, an additional 7 years trying to get to sleep. You'll spend 13 years of your life at work, and an additional 7 years of your life looking at screens. And I guarantee you that that one's going up. That one has to be going up with this next generation. You'll spend 5.5 years eating. But how many hours or years will you spend at church services? I want to ask you that. Well, if you go 1 hour a week, you will have spent 173 days, that's a little less than 6 months, in church services. And if you go 2 hours a week to services, that's just under 1 year, 346 days. If you attend church services for 3 hours a week, that's a little under 1.5 years spent in church services. And I could go on, you're getting the idea here. But if you attend every service that a congregation generally has, you will have spent about 2 years in attendance compared to 7 years trying to fall asleep. But how many hours are there in a week? There's 168 hours in a week. And if we deduct 3 hours for congregational services, that leaves 165 hours. If you deduct 4 hours, that'd be 164 hours left to our own devices. And how many of those do we use in service to God? How many do we use reading Scripture? And I ask you, what's more important? Is it to get up, to take a shower, to cleanse this body that's soon going to return to the dust? Or is it better to spend that time reading Scripture, which will cleanse your soul, which will last for eternity? Something to think about. And let's take a section of Scripture that attests to the importance of Bible study. Now, this is Paul. He's writing to Timothy, who is his apprentice in a sense. He's writing to him to help teach him to be a better minister, better Christian worker. And you can turn to this one if you'd like. It's 2 Timothy 3, verses 14 through 17. 2 Timothy 3, verses 14 through 17. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Now, we are all to be ministers. That means servants. That's what that word means. And we are to be well-trained in the gospel. There's no set number of work hours that we have to work for the Lord. It's not the way it works. But we should all take inventory and make sure that we set aside time for the Lord, for His work, to meditate on the Scriptures and to read the Scriptures. Now the past, it's gone and it's recorded, as we mentioned at the beginning of this lesson. It's in the books, so to speak, because God records everything that we do according to Revelation 20, verse 12. And we'll answer for every idle word that we speak, Matthew 12, 36. But how urgent is it that we do all of these things that we've talked about today? All of these things concerning time and how we use it. Well, there are wars all over the world. We already talked about that. People pass away suddenly. I've had this happen a couple times with people my age in my life. But it makes all the difference if we are very sure where that person has gone when they pass away. It makes all the difference. A little girl whose baby brother had just died asked her mother where he had gone. "To be with Jesus," replied the mother. A few days later, talking to a friend, the mother said, "I'm so grieved to have lost my baby." The little girl heard her and, remembering what her mother had told her, looked up into her face and asked, "Mother, is a thing lost when you know where it is?" "No, of course not," said the mother. "Well, then how can my baby brother be lost when he has gone to be with Jesus?" Her mother never forgot this. It was the truth. What about you? Are you giving everything you can to Jesus? Are you dedicating your life to being a good Christian example? I believe every act of kindness out in the world is an act of evangelism. I think sometimes we put too much on evangelism. We think that it's only these big things that we're afraid of. And maybe we are afraid to talk to others about Jesus. But every act of kindness, getting to know people out in the world at work, that is evangelism. And we don't have a lot of time, do we? Everything takes time. Even going to the grocery store takes time. A tremendous amount of time. Some, you know, the lines, they just keep getting longer, it seems like. Depends on what time of day you go. But we never feel we have enough time, do we? There's always something else to do. Always one more thing to fit in our schedules. We don't have enough time to do it all. And I believe that's true. There isn't enough time to do everything we want to do. So let's make time for Jesus. Make time for His Word and service to Him. Here are some things to make time for that come straight from the Bible. Prayer. In James 5, verse 16, we read, "Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." What about worship services? Hebrews 10, 25, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." How about serving others as Jesus served others? Matthew 20, verses 26 through 28, "Yet it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." And what about time to be a wonderful Christian example out there in the world? Titus 2, verses 7 and 8, "In all things, showing yourself to be a pattern of good works, in doctrine, showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that one who is an opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say of you." Spending your time in study, in prayer, and in service will allow you to be ready to help those who need to be taught the salvation of Jesus. And they're all over out there, aren't they? 1 Peter 3:15, I'm going to read the King James Version. I like it a little better. "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Humbly tell them why you're a Christian." My question for you is this: are you ready to give an answer if someone asks you why you are a Christian? And even if the answer is yes, if you put a little more time into the things of Jesus, do you think you'd be even more ready to give that answer? If so, I invite you to start working towards this goal. Give Jesus more of your time next week than you did this week. And even if it's just a little tiny bit, that's all that matters. Put more and more of the Lord into your life as you grow older. One of the best ways to form a habit is to start very small, to get little wins, accomplish little goals, and then expand these into bigger ones. I was talking to Tom the other night about reading the Bible. What if, instead of saying, "I'm going to read three chapters a day to start out, I haven't read it, you know, maybe I read the Bible every 3 months, I'm going to start now." What if you decided you were going to pick up the Bible and read one verse every day? Don't you think that might turn into more, especially if you prayed about it? And I will guarantee you that the Lord will help you to do these things. He will help you to strengthen your faith, to strengthen your love for the Scriptures. And what do you get in return for service, for study, for all these things, for being a servant of Christ? Well, in Philippians 4:7, Paul tells us that in Jesus we have peace that surpasses all understanding. And the Apostle Peter tells us in 1 Peter 1:13 that we have hope in the grace Jesus will bring. We will receive eternal life. These painful things of earth will pass away. We will have a new spiritual body. And that becomes more and more important the more time passes and the more you see that this one just ain't going to hold out. It won't hold out for any of us. But the only way you can have that hope, that peace, is to be a Christian. And to be a Christian, we must do what the Bible tells us to do in order to become a Christian. First, we need to hear the Word of God. I hope you've heard it today. It's in here. You can read it. We go by the New Testament. Romans 10, verse 17 tells us we must hear that Word. We must believe it. Believe in God. Believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Hebrews 11, 6 tells us that. We need to repent of our sins. That means if we're sinning going in this direction, we have to turn all the way around, go the other direction, do the right thing. Luke 13, 3 tells us that. We must confess the name of Jesus before men. That means you would come down here, you would say, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. You do that before men, before you are baptized, and that's our next one. But Matthew 10, 32 tells us we must confess. And then you must be baptized. And that does mean immersed in water. There's nothing magical about the water. It's only an act of submission towards Jesus to show that you've given up your old life and you're rising to a new life. Mark 16, 16 tells us that. Acts 2, 38. And finally, be faithful unto death. Revelation 2, 10 tells us that. That means we keep trying to live right for God and repent when we mess up. Today, either you have accepted Jesus and time is on your side, or you have not accepted Jesus and time is your worst enemy, ticking away 1 second at a time. If you need to become a Christian today, or if you need the prayers of this congregation, or you need clarification on how to become a Christian, come now as together we stand and sing.